wants your prayers to ascend before the throne, and they are provided intercession. Well, I say all that knowing that there is no doubt that the greatest struggle for the Christian is prayer. Prayer is something vital to our well-being as Christians. And yet, if we're honest, we are neglectful in this duty.
How many times do we find ourselves with our prayers seemingly going to the ceiling and no further? It's frustrating. You want to give up. You want to quit. And more often than not, sadly, we do. We have some real encouragement for you today here on Abounding Grace as Pastor Chris Gordon returns us to Exodus 30, making prayer a priority. First 10 verses with today's program. Here's Chris.
God was sending a message to his people. Something very sweet was coming up before him into his nostrils, if you will. So then think of the picture presented. The altar of incense just before God's face, the priest would enter, he would come before the throne of grace. Remember what's on the priest's shoulder. He's decked out. He's got the names of the people. He's bearing them up. He's carrying them. He's got them on his chest. They're close to his heart, the 12 tribes. On the breastplate, beautiful stones are the names of God's people. They would come before the altar and stand there. And on behalf of the people, they would stand there and then serve at the altar of incense. Think of the importance of this. No sacrifices on that altar. Incense. What did Israel understand? What was he doing for them at the altar? What were the priests doing at the altar of incense? Well, carrying their names. I want you to listen to how David understood this. This is Psalm 141. This is David. Here he writes, "O Lord, I call to you. Come quickly to me. Hear my voice when I call to you. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice." What's David thinking about? He's linking it all together, isn't he? He's directly speaking of the daily work of the priests in the tabernacle, which included standing of the priest in the very place that God meets his people, and the priests offering up incense on behalf of the people to the Lord that rises up as a sweet-smelling aroma. David says, may my prayers be like that for you, to you, before you. He's asking, Lord, would you receive my prayers? Would you receive them? In direct connection with how God received the incense that the high priest would offer. Would you receive my prayers like that incense that you receive from the high priest? So David's on the outside, high priest on the inside, ministering before the altar, the closest piece to the throne of God. And what is it, does he compare the incense to? The prayers of the saints. It's pictured very powerfully in Luke's gospel. This will help you. If you want to turn there, I think you'll really see the connection of what's going on when Zechariah was performing his duties. And you'll notice in Luke 1 verse 8, listen to this language and hopefully this all becomes clear. "So it was, while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord." So he's serving as priest, his turn to go in and offer up the incense in the temple. "And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense." See the connection? "Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him." See the connection. High priest offered up incense at the very hour. It was known as the hour of incense. All the people are outside praying. When did this happen? Morning and evening. Every morning and evening, they're praying. The people of God were called to pray. And then the high priest would go in and offer up the incense right at that moment. Early in the morning and evening, there would be massive prayer by God's people. They understood this. So the offering of incense was the time for the high priest to intercede on behalf of the people. You see that? He's interceding. They're praying. He's before the throne of God interceding. That's the imagery. Well, maybe some of this is starting to come together. I've worked hard. Likewise, the Spirit, what does He do? Helps us in our weaknesses. For we don't know what to pray for as we ought. You guys are constantly struggling with prayer. I know you're struggling with prayer because I struggle with prayer. If Dominie Gordon struggles with prayer, you struggle with prayer. You often don't know how to pray. You often don't even know what to pray for in the circumstances that you're in. You don't know if you should pray that I go here or there. You don't know the will of the Lord in certain things. You know His revealed will. So we pray and we cry out according to everything He's commanded, as the Heidelberg says. And the Spirit intercedes with groanings that can't be uttered. He prays perfectly for you, interceding. Revelation calls the prayers of the saints something very special. I want you to listen to two passages from Revelation. Now, when He had taken the scroll, and this all comes from Exodus, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So notice this. These creatures have the bowls of incense, which are your prayers. Then another angel who had a golden censer came and stood at the altar. It's Revelation 8. He was given much incense to offer, along with the prayers of all the saints. On the golden altar before the throne. See it? Hear it? And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose up before God from the hand of the angel. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and hurled it back to the earth. There were rolls of thunder and rumblings and flashes of lightnings and an earthquake. What just happened? God answered the prayers of His saints. The imagery there is His saints are crying out to Him and His angels fling back fire on the earth. He wants you to know He's hearing and He's answering you. And He's defending you. And He's going to protect you. He wants your prayers to ascend before the throne. And they are provided intercession. Well, I say all that knowing that there is no doubt that the greatest struggle for the Christian is prayer. I know it. Sad to say that, isn't it? I mean, really. So sad to say that. Prayer is something vital to our well-being as Christians. And yet, if we're honest, we are neglectful in this duty. What kind of place should it have in our lives? I was reading Phil Reichen, and he made a striking statement. Do with it what you will. If we neglect prayer, we should not expect things to go well for us in the ministry or in our lives. But when we pray, our petitions rise to heaven, and God is pleased to bestow His blessing on us. Is that true? Of course it's true. If it's true, how much more do you think we suffer in our lives bringing on our own hardships on ourselves because we're trying to do it ourselves, not praying? Think about it. In our churches, it's the greatest privilege. We call this, Jesus said, the house of what? Prayer. Putting it another way, what are the implications of Jesus' challenge, you don't have because you don't ask? Let me roughly paraphrase. You're going through all kinds of things in your life, and you never come and talk to me about it. You never come when I've opened it up, and I'm your Father, and I love you. And you don't come to me in time of need and talk to me and well, couldn't I say you're always on the phone telling everyone else, right? I hope Exodus gives you a renewed perspective tonight about the benefits and the blessings of prayer. That's my goal. How could they be sure that their prayers were heard? What was the basis? I mean, I know how I feel often. My prayers don't get past the roof. They feel powerless. They feel empty. They feel cold. They feel dead. I know that. I know you struggle with that. The basis that God heard their prayers was that there was a wonderful priest making intercession. But also that a sin offering had been placed on the altar's horns, which outside where the offering was made, teaching us something very important that God wanted Israel to understand. God doesn't accept prayers unless there's atonement for sin. That is really important. God is he hear the prayers of everyone? Yes and no. If you don't have forgiveness in Christ, his face is turned away from you. Now that's really important tonight. Because who does the high priest ultimately represent? We've been looking at the failure of the Levitical priesthood, and we've been looking at the necessity of another priest according to the order of Melchizedek. We are looking for a faithful high priest. A faithful high priest who would come in the fullness of time, ordained as a priest, would offer his body outside the gate. See? Offer it outside the gate. On the cross, that blood, he says, would purify the worshipers of God once and for all. Well, what's he doing for you now? This is where I always like to challenge the young people when they come before us for profession of faith and to say, well, what has Jesus done for you? We always say, well, he lived a righteous life and he died. But I don't know that we think a lot about the fact that Jesus is praying for us right now. It's intercession. That he's in the holy place, most holy place. Your intercessor, your mediator. Think of what he's doing. He's helping you. I think this also helps a lot with the principles of worship. You know, I often try to tell people, some people look at us and say, well, are you so strict about worship? Why are you so strict? We can do whatever we want, right? And the answer is, of course not. But I don't know how always to communicate that. We believed in this thing called the regulative principle. You do only those things that God has expressly commanded in his word. But I don't know that we've done a really good job of helping people to see that as to why. We throw that around a lot. But God's people have to know why. Well, who messed with this altar of incense? Nadab and Abihu. And they were having a wow worship service, let me tell you. Everyone's shouting. They're all having a great time. Nadab and Abihu got caught up in the moment, and then they went and tampered with this altar of incense. Did you know that? Now, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer, put fire in it, laid incense on it, and offered an unauthorized fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. And fire came out from the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord has said, among those who are near me, I will be sanctified, and before all the people, I will be glorified. Well, they took their censer, and they said, we can do this a little bit better. We can make this happen a little bit more. And they interjected something God did not command on the altar of incense and added to the worship. And when God had given great detail about what he wanted on it, right here, Exodus 30, they didn't listen. Oh, don't be so legalistic. And fire came out and consumed them. Why? Because you're shoving out Christ. Does that help? There's a reason it's all specific. Worship that left out Christ was approaching the people to represent them at the altar of prayer with a strange fire. Outside of it, you can't get to God with your fire. In trouble. The specific blend was declaring that only those prayers are heard with the atonement of Christ's blood. Any other sacrifice was a foreign sacrifice. It couldn't perfect the worshipers. The prayers were not heard. And that's why God got very zealous for Israel. That's a start, I hope, to help us more clearly understand why worship matters. It's not a neutral. It's not a neutral. What we're seeing, that God was so specific in all this instruction about worship in Exodus, is because worship was only possible through the provision of His Son. All attempts to do something outside of that and do something that tampered with that removed Him from the equation. We've got to understand that it's always based on Christ, His gospel, His atonement. When that's not central and that's ripped away with our own methods and our own things, this is where it goes wrong. And that's what the Heidelberg's saying to us. On page, you don't have to turn there, but page 59, it says this very thing. How do we know that how does God want us to pray that He will listen to us? Well, there's a few things we have to take seriously about that, don't we? That we pray from the heart to none other than the true God who's revealed Himself in His Word, that we ask everything that He's commanded us. Notice it's even there. That we acknowledge our need and misery, hiding nothing and humble ourselves in His presence. That we rest on this unshakable foundation, even though we don't deserve it, God listens only because of who? Christ. That's it. That's the only basis He hears you. It's the perfect life of His Son. That God, through Christ, has become our Father. And when we understand that, well, you understand how beautiful prayer is then and how precious. It was Jesus Himself who said, in that day when I'm exalted and lifted up, listen to John 16. You will ask in My name. And I do not say that that you shall pray, I shall pray to the Father for you, for the Father Himself loves you. You hear that? The Father loves you because you have loved Me and have believed that I came forth from God. I didn't have to continually go and now after I've given my sacrifice in life, try to calm down my Father and appease Him. I don't need to do that. I don't have to continue to go to try to make you accepted. You need to know you're accepted. You're received. Because of My body and My blood. It's the only basis. You're forgiven. And when you pray, now by the way, this is really important why we do say, in Jesus' name. When you pray in My name, your prayers are directly received in love by My Father. You need to know that. You need to know that. Jesus is our eternal high priest. And because your relationship is one of an adopted son now, God has promised you your prayers are heard, being answered according to His perfect will. So we should always remember, we pray with a recognition that the ground by which we come is the person and the work of Jesus. And we always say in Christ's name. It's in Jesus' name that we're able to come. Hebrews says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Do you? You know this is your privilege? You know He's inviting you to that? Do you know the Israelites probably could never have imagined in fullness what this would be like to be able to say to people, you get to come in the most holy place because of Christ and have direct access and pray. You get to talk to your heavenly Father. You understand the privilege of that? You'll never, none of you get to go up and talk to Trump. That's not in my notes. Darcy always tells me don't say those things, but it's true. Think He's interested in you that much? Your Father is. You get to come to the most holy place. You get to talk to him. And he promises you help in time of need. Whenever you have a need, you're in despair, you're lonely, you're depressed, you're hurting. He says, come to me. Talk to me. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to abandon you. If prayer was offered, and the Jews understood this early in the morning and in the evening, and all the people knew that the priests were in there ministering at the altar on their behalf, they knew they should pray because that was going on. Do you think you should pray when you know Jesus is there interceding for you? Your eternal high priest? Can you take any time out of your busy day to talk to him? Think it's an insult if he never hears from us? Ever? Day and night is not putting a legalistic yoke on you. That's not legalism. He's calling you to come to him from the heart. It's your chief way of thankfulness, we say. He wants you to come to him for any reason that is right and good. And he said, men ought always to pray and not lose heart. I don't want you to lose heart in this life. I made a decision last night to get rid of my smartphone. It's consuming me. It's consuming me. And just go back to one of those little flip things. I say that only to say, I'm so busy often with all the wrong things. Do you praise him? Do you ask for his kingdom to be advanced? Do you pray for the Escondido United Reformed Church? Do you pray for your brethren here who are hurting? Do you pray for the lost in the world? Do you stop and ask him, you've made us a part of a glorious salvation and a plan, go into the ends of the earth, save, Lord. I wonder how much we stumble and how much we continue to give into sin. Not under any condemnation anymore, but still struggling with real sin in our lives because we never come to him and ask for help. Christ has loved you. He's given you access to the Father. May your life be thankful in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5, and I close with this. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Thank you for the privilege, Heavenly Father, of prayer. You just told us ending this sermon, it's your will for us that we would pray continually. We're guilty. I am guilty. And we ask for forgiveness. We're all our own little prima donnas, trying to do our own thing, trying to build our own names, trying to run around and seek our own happiness apart from you. And it's evidenced by a lack of prayer in our lives. And yet in this, you don't condemn us. You invite us to come and enjoy you. So may, Lord, we take this more seriously as a church and as a people. And may we call out upon the name of the Lord. And may we always give thanks in every circumstance. And would we be joyful always, since this is your will for us in Christ Jesus. And we can say in confidence tonight that you heard us, because in his name, Jesus' name, do we pray.
This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Just enough time to leave you with our contact information. We'd love to hear from you. It's always a delight knowing you're being blessed by this radio program. Reach out to us at our website, agradio.org. Questions@agradio.org. If you wish to email us any questions you might have, or praise reports, comments about the program, or give us a call, 888-504-8805. By the way, when you visit our website, agradio.org, tons of resource material for you to tap into, as well as links to our other platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Again, all at agradio.org. And that phone number, once again, is 888-504-8805. Looking to write to us? If you're old school, the address for your envelope is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Hey, thanks for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.